everybody. Hope you're ready to hear from the most organic guy around. Here he is, landscape architect, arborist, author, columnist for the Dallas Morning News, and my dad, the dirt doctor, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome, everybody. Telephone number, and we've got some open lines for you first time this morning at 866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. 866-444-3478. We've been talking about a whole lot of different subjects today. Gardening, there's been a lot of turf grass questions today, which is good. The fall is such a wonderful time to do a lot of planting, including planting sod. You can plant cool season grasses and forbs of like clovers and vetches and things like that. From seed also still right now. So it's just a great time. I just planted some carrots and radishes in my garden. I'm pretty delinquent. I've had so many projects going on. I haven't been very good in our experimental vegetable garden keeping up. I did harvest a bunch of asparagus yesterday. We had, with the rain and the temperature changes, the asparagus in one area is an experimental deal where I cut it back severely twice. I've always done it one time, and I've always wondered and been a little concerned about cutting it back twice. Are you gonna wreck the stored energy in the underground part of the asparagus and hurt the crop for the next year? Well, cutting it back really severely one time and having it come back for a second crop had no effect on the next year's crop at all. But the last time I did it, this past summer, I did it three times. No, I didn't. I did it twice this time, not just once. And we're getting a really nice round of spears, pretty good size, actually, for this time of the year, coming out right now. And there's still enough foliage. I took some pictures of it. I'll try to put it on Facebook for you, and we'll add it to the website as well. But same time, planted some radishes by seed, planted several different kinds of carrots, and I'll still plant some transplants of some cool season things, even though it's getting a little late. I ran out of time on garlic. I called a couple of the garlic sources to get some more garlic to plant, and they told me I was late, and they already sold out. Really nice call from one of the companies, and I need to call them back. They were talking about they would help me track some more down. But the interesting thing about garlic is that even if you don't plant any, if you've been planting it through the years, you can get it all out anyway, and you're gonna have some come up here and there, and that's the case with me. Last year we didn't plant any either, and we had a pretty good crop. This year it's already popping up. We've got garlic 3-4 inches tall in some cases that is often raring to go, you know, and grow through the winter and be nice big bulbs next spring. Let's see what else I needed to tell you about. This hour is brought to you by the Dirt Doctor lineup of informational things that are available to you, starting with dirtdoctor.com. New website, brand new website, a little easier to use. I think that I know we're able to edit it quicker and get new things on there. You look at the right-hand side, and those are all the new additions or edits that we're making to the site in the library and various other places. The members area is something that is available to you that has got benefits that are not on the public side. Cost a little bit there, but you can see what all is available there and see if that is something that interests you. But the website itself, of course, for the most part, is totally free. There's a separate website now for Texas Organic Research Center. It's the 501c3 not-for-profit part of our goings-on, and covers the research, both positive and negative, that, you know, we deal with all the time. The negative about Roundup and 2,4-D and synthetic fertilizers and all that kind of thing, and the positive about what we do recommend. And there's university stuff. There's anecdotal information. There's all kinds of things. But the research, the scientific research for everything that we recommend is all there for you and easy to find. The website there is texasorganicresearchcenter.org. It's a mouthful. Easiest way to go is go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Torque button right at the top of the page. We have a newsletter that's free, also goes out to a lot of people, one subject at a time. Fill out the form that's on dirtdoctor.com to get it, or just send us an email and say, hey, put me on the list. And it goes out now much cleaner, all at the same time, and I think you'll enjoy it. We have the archives of past newsletters on the website for you, and you can find the category you might be looking for and maybe find something there that's not covered as much in the library. Generally speaking, we'll put the newsletters after they've run both in the archives and in the library where everything's in alphabetical order. So yeah, a couple of different ways to find things. The search part I'm not happy with yet of the website. It needs to be, we're still working on it, trying to get it to where it's simpler to use. It brings up a lot of stuff now, but you gotta have to wade through it, and we're still working on tweaking it and fine-tuning it to where it works a little bit better. And what else do we have? We've got a bunch of books. The books we are covering on Facebook for you right now in three little videos explaining all my books and what are the ones that are the most current, what's the history of them coming through several different changes, and what the subject matter is on all the books. They're available at bookstores in some cities especially, and also, of course, online from the typical places to buy books online. And the telephone number once again, and we'll go to the phones, is 866-444-3478. Seems like I forgot about one thing. Oh, my column in the Dallas Morning News runs every week, and it runs on Thursdays. They're starting to run a little longer column, I noticed the last couple of times. We usually send them more. They're all in Q&A forms because I just use it as a place to answer the questions that I get, both the result from the column and from the radio show. And they go in there, and they're starting to run a bunch of them. It's Thursday in the Dallas Morning News, and I think they do put it online if you don't take the paper. Anyway, that's what's going on there. Let's see what's going on with David in Central Arkansas. Hello, David.
Hey, how you doing, Doc? I got a question for you.
Okay.
We have been trying to do this several times with no success whatsoever. The better half went out and took an avocado pit and stuck it in the compost pile and just dumped it and thought about it and didn't even worry about it. Went out there here a while back and looked out there, and there's a little tree trying to grow. So we pulled it up, we put it in a pot, we brought it in the house. Now, we're up here in Nowersville, Arkansas. We want to know how we can keep this thing alive and if it will grow and if it will produce.
It's real easy. All you need to do, David, is move to southern Florida.
Yeah, I kind of figured that. We tried it in Texas. We were down there, but we didn't stay long enough.
So you can keep
it away, huh? It's not something in and out of the house with or anything.
No, you can keep it going in the house, but you almost have to have greenhouse conditions. It's a tree like a live oak that wants to be growing in full sun. It's a big tree, in the tropics and where it grows. And so when you keep it in the house, even if you have skylights and artificial light and be by a window, it's going to get far less foot candles of light than it really wants to have. And as a result, it'll get spindly. It's not going to set fruit very well for you at all. And the real issue is that inside it's going to get big. It's a big tree.
And I didn't have any idea what it was or how big they got or anything.
Yeah.
So.
Well, they're fun to grow and keep around as long as you want to do it, but I just don't want to give you high hopes that you're going to be able to produce fruit. The only way you could is to keep intense light on it all winter inside, move it out in April when we're free of any freeze damage at all, and put it in full sun. You're going to have to move it into full sun kind of gradually. If you just put it straight out in full sun from being in the house, it's going to sunburn.
Okay, how about this? How about extreme southwest Louisiana? Will they grow down there?
Might, and there's also a hardy avocado that you need to look into. I'm not even sure the exact name, but there's one that's been developed that's supposed to be able to take some frost. So look into it if you want to grow avocado. You might be able to grow yours in the sun down there as well. Got to go. Be right back after this.
Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, here for Victor Pet Foods. In addition to the grain-free choices, all the great Victor products are wheat, corn, soy, and gluten-free and are naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors. Victor's loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dogs, Carmen and Tater, love Victor. Your dogs and cats will too. Ask for Victor at your favorite pet or feed store or go to victordogfood.com. That's victordogfood.com.
Hi, I'm Susie Cohen, author of The 24-Hour Pharmacist and Drug Muggers. I understand the value of medication, but in the process of helping, they can rob the body of many essential nutrients. I call them drug muggers because they spark side effects that are often diagnosed as a new disease. Every medication, whether over-the-counter or prescription, robs the body of beneficial bacteria. That's why I recommend probiotics for anyone taking medication and for good health in general. Bacterial balance is vital for healthy digestion, improved immunity, and tip-top health. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics nurtures the garden of bacteria that is distinctive to your body. Backed by 25 years of research, Dr. O'Hara's exclusive formula uses living bacteria combined in a Japanese fermentation process that sets Dr. O'Hara's probiotics apart from all other brands.
Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Maestro Grow, maker of great fertilizers and soil amendments like Texas Tea, Rose Glow, and the Sick Tree Treatment, is now manufacturing Garrett Juice Pro, the advanced mix of Garrett Juice formula. Garrett Juice Pro improves the health of soil and plants with humic acid, apple cider vinegar, molasses, seaweed, and hydrolyzed fish, also beneficial bacteria and fungi. Ask for it at garden centers, farm and feed stores, and hardware stores. For Garrett Juice and other fine products, call 940-648-5400 or go to maestrogrow.com.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations, that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's medinaag.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com. To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed in mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard back, and we're loaded up again, so let's try to visit with as many people as we can this hour. I'm delighted to do that. Let me see who's first up. Vicki, I think, in Waco, Texas. Hi, Vicki.
Hey, Doc, I got a quick question for you about, I know you were talking to that guy earlier about his Dallas grass.
Yeah.
I've got a section, and it seems like that obnoxious stuff just grows in the strong sunlight. And I've got a portion of it in my yard, and I'd like to dig it up and put beds there. And I was wondering, how deep does that root go? Do you have to down as far as the root is to get it up?
No, and that's a good question. Grasses do not come back from the roots. It's a big misconception. What they do come back from are the stems, the rhizomes. And the rhizomes are part of the crown. The crown of Dallas grass is deeper than some other plants. And that's what's the reproductive part. If you go down 2 inches, you get probably all of it. If you go 3 inches, you'll definitely get all of that part that's reproductive. You do not worry about the roots, because roots of Dallas grass probably go down in sandier soils. They go down 6 or 8 feet.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and okay. If that was reproductive, we'd have a real problem. And that's the case with Bermuda grass or St. Augustine or any of them. It's the stems, the rhizomes,
okay,
that are the reproductive part.
Okay, that's good to know. And you also, did I hear you say to him that you could, once you pull that, get that dug up, it's okay to put that in a compost pile?
Yeah, that's another good question, too, because a lot of people think that they need to bag turf that has weed seed in it, and I don't recommend any of that. I recommend all weeds, all weed seed, all grasses, all forbs, everything you mow, go in the compost pile. That is, even diseased and insect-ridden things, because the best way to neutralize all that stuff is the heat, the biological activity in the compost pile, and then you turn all of that stuff into something beneficial, because all the weeds are loaded with various trace minerals, and they vary.
Oh.
Some weeds have certain trace minerals, other weeds have other trace minerals, and the reason is, a lot of times if the soil is unbalanced chemically, the weeds that need to help balance those nutrients out are growing. So You have a lot of really good beneficial nutrients and all kinds of other good things besides the carbon for your compost pile. And the seed and the plants will be completely neutralized and, you know, kept from being able to grow by the composting operation.
Okay. So that's, and then I know that you recommend lock sand is one of the things you recommend to layer in a bed, right?
Well, not to necessarily layer it. We don't mind putting it out in just broadcast form, but when you're building a new bed, you mix it in with the compost and with the green sand and with the organic fertilizer and everything to have more of a homogeneous mixture. That's better than just doing layers.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Thank you so much, Doc.
I appreciate the call.
Okay.
I'm speaking at Coppell coming up in an event here in Texas that has a wonderful community garden. Two different community gardens, and they've just been spectacular in the production that they've had, not only for the people there to have food, but they've given the food banks a huge amount of food, and they are totally organic. They've done just a wonderful job. You can go to their website, Coppell, Texas' website, and see information about that if your city is interested in doing something similar. But they do a composting operation that I always brag about because they are the ones that taught me about using the Shepherd composters. The Shepherd is the compost device that I recommend. It's 4x4x3 feet tall, made of really good steel. It's made by a steel company, in fact, but it folds. It's easy to store if you need to. But the way they work is you set them a battery of them up, and you can move the compost from one to the other. They're very easy to turn the compost because you just pull the steel straight up, and it spills down, and then you toss the compost into the new location or the next Shepherd composter, and that's all the turning you ever need to do. It's a foolproof system. It's easy to keep the moisture level where you need it to keep the biological activity up. And all of those weed seed and weeds and disease plants and everything go in the compost pile. Somebody from Coppell was asking me if I would cover when I talked about lasagna gardening, the layered gardening. I looked it up to just make sure. I didn't know if they were peat moss people or not. It doesn't look like they are too much. They're just... they recommend a layer of green, a layer of brown, a layer of green, and a layer of brown. I don't have a problem with that, but except for one thing, and that's that it takes a long time, 6 months at least, for that stuff to break down into a quality bed that you could have a lot faster by using the pretty simple techniques of bed preparation that we recommend. Lasagna is okay, just going to take a 6 months to a year for it to really be usable. So keep that in mind. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, 866-444-3478. I'll be right back after this.
Howard's latest book, Organic Lawn Care, Growing Grass the Natural Way, will take you step by step through installing and maintaining turf organically. He explains in detail how to establish and maintain a lawn, including planting, mowing, watering, fertilizing, and managing weeds and other pests. Follow the program in Organic Lawn Care, and don't be surprised when your water bill drops 40 to 50% and your lawn is the best looking one on the block. To order, call 866-444-3478. That's 866-444-3478, or ask for it in your favorite bookstore or garden center.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on the effectiveness of natural organic gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's programs works better, saves money, and helps us to enjoy healthier lives. We need your support. Go to TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org to donate. Stop the broad-scale use of toxic chemical pesticides and fertilizers. Donate at TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org today. That's TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org. Again, TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or Garlic Pepper Tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus, and BioWash. Dust, if necessary, with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
There are many good pet foods on the market, and we've promoted some of the very best, but Victor is the dog food that I now feed my dogs and the pet food that you should let your pets try. They will enjoy it, just like mine do. Victor not only has grain-free choices, but none of the Victor products contain wheat, corn, soy, or gluten. These great products are naturally preserved with no toxic chemicals, fake flavors, or colors, and they're loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dogs, Carmen and Tater, look and feel better than ever. Ask for Victor dog food and cat food at your favorite pet store or feed store. And for more information about dog and cat food recommended by me, the Dirt Doctor, go to victordogfood.com or email me by clicking on the Ask Howard button on dirtdoctor.com. That's victordogfood.com.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at DirtDoctor.com.
Well, let's see who is next up here. Looks like Ken in Alba, Texas. How are things in Alba, Ken?
Good morning. How are you? Fine. We're getting a nice, warming up day out here after about 15 inches of rain during the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, the sunshine is welcome right now, I tell you for sure. A little coolish out there, but just a nice, crisp fall day.
Yes. I got a question about a couple big, beautiful water oak trees.
Okay.
One of them has begun stressed to the point where it's probably not recoverable. And the other one is, they're about 50 feet tall, a couple feet thick. But looking at them this morning, they're... Basically, they've been attacked pretty heavily by insects, I guess, and woodpeckers. But about from the crown up to, from the root section up to about 3 or 4 feet high, chunks of bark have fallen off, and insects, whatever, have penetrated several inches into it. And the one is still looks good on top, but it's. I can't leave it like it is. It's not going to survive. I'm just wondering how I would attack that. I need to get something in deep into the stop this infestation or something.
Well, it sounds like the trees have gotten into stress badly for some reason. Has something traumatic happened, lightning strike or a grade change on the soil or anything like that, Ken?
Not a thing that I know of, and I haven't put any fertilizer on them. They never needed it. They're big old trees, you know, and so nothing I know of. Of course, the 4 years ago, the drought stressed quite a few of our trees out here, where between the heat and the lack of water, we lost a lot of big oaks out here. But
that could be it. Are the flare? How many trees are we talking about here?
But these are two that are
two big trees.
Watching, yeah, the one of them, I don't even think I can salvage it. It's already got just one big branch that's still green on it, and the one I'm really I think I can help is still got. All the big branches are still looking good on top, but I'm surprised it's alive looking at the one side of it on the bottom.
Well, you got to be careful about that because there can be so much decay in the trunk, it can end up being a dangerous problem, you know, a structural problem of falling and hurting something. So are you familiar with the root flare exposure importance that I talk about all the time?
Time and there's nothing we've done there. The root flare looks fine.
Can you walk up to these trees and stand on the flare?
It's sloping pretty good. You know, I don't know if you could stand on the flare. It's got about a 45-degree angle. You'd be standing on.
Well, a lot of times people think that they have enough flare, and they don't, and there's some circling, girdling roots that are a problem down low. There's got to be something that happened to your tree. It could just be the drought. You could be exactly right. It could have been enough drought. Is your soil real sandy?
Yes, it's pretty this area.
Pretty sandy, okay. That's probably what it is. You need to apply the sick tree treatment, Ken, and what the sick tree treatment is not a – product. It's a procedure, and the first thing you do, even with sandy soil, if you can, is aerate the surface of the soil. In your case, with the sandy soil, you could just put hydrogen peroxide into Garrett juice, let it make up about 16 ounces of every gallon of Garrett juice that you spray out. And spray the entire root zone. And, of course, on a big tree like that, the root zone's 4 or 5 times wider than the top. That's a way of liquid aeration, aerating the root zone. And then the next thing you do is you put out the same amendments on the soil, and you just can do it on the surface. If you do physical aeration and take plugs out, it's even better because you can get this material down into the ground a little better or a lot better. And what you put out then is compost, lava sand, green sand, whole ground cornmeal, like we use for disease control on turf, and dry molasses. And if you do that throughout the root system and just fertilize once a year with a light application of organic fertilizer, you can save the tree, assuming that too much of the tree's trunk core hadn't already rotted. And you're just going to have to make that determination. If you had an arborist come out and take a look at it, it'd probably be a good thing. Be careful what they recommend, though. Just you might have one come out to see what they think about the danger of all the rot in the trunk.
What about spraying something right into all of this charred, chewed up area where the bugs and the birds are working on the side of it?
Well, you can kill the insects in there with injections or with sprays that soak in that have orange oil. Some of the companies like More Tree Care in Dallas use what's called the term I'm drawing a blank on anyway. It's an injection of phosphorus. Phosphojet is something that they use for insects and diseases that works beautifully if a tree is really heavily infested with stuff. If you can get to the insects, orange oil will kill them. It's all you need to use.
Okay, is that something that most nurseries would carry?
Orange oil, all the nurseries would have probably, and you can also get at hardware stores and feed stores and places like that. But if you want to get an arborist to come out, somebody like Moore, but you may have somebody locally there that would use what's called the Arbor Jet. Arbor Jet is how you inject the phosphorus product into the trunk, and it would be even more powerful than trying to do it yourself with orange oil, quite a bit more effective.
Okay. Okay, well, I appreciate the help.
I appreciate your call. Send me a picture of it, too, and maybe I'll see something else that I can help you with. You can send it to info@dirtdoctor.com.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That water oak, by the way, is one when we were on our trip up to the east, we stopped at Longwood Gardens, which is just outside Philly, and there were big, beautiful water oaks there. I was really surprised at the tremendous range that some of the trees that I recommend here have, and water oak is definitely one of them. For some of the people listening down here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area that think they might want to plant one, you probably ought to rethink that, because they really need a little better soil than we have here in a lot of areas where we have the black soil on top of white rock. They can make it, but they don't do nearly as well as when they have deep soil that's kind of on the sandy side. Doris at Cedar Creek is next up. Hello, Doris.
Hi, Howard. How are you doing?
Well, thank you.
Okay, good deal. Have a question about a lemon tree.
Okay.
We are at Cedar Creek Lake, which I believe is considered high 7, low 8 zone.
Probably right, uh-huh.
And our son, said that he had seen a lemon tree further north than what we are even, that was actually planted in the ground. Mine is in a huge container. Yeah. Inside our house is not a good option, really, to move it in the winter, which is what we did last year, but it was not that healthy and didn't even produce this year.
Okay. Is it a Meyer lemon? Do you know?
I believe so.
Meyer lemons are wonderful. They're delicious, but they are tropical. You know, you've got to protect them or they'll freeze outside. There are the only lemons that are lemon type plant that you can leave outside is one called trifoliate orange. It looks like more like a lemon than an orange, and it's got kind of a shriveled, not a good tasting fruit. It would be wonderful to use to make your own citrus pest controls and things like that, and it's a great barrier plant.
I was just growing this one for an eating lemon.
Yeah, for eating lemons, they're all delicate as far as hardiness, and you got to protect them in the winter. So you're going to have to, at least when it's really, they can take a little bit of frost without messing them up too badly, but if they get much, it's not only going to ruin the flowers and the fruit, but it could even kill the plant.
Do you think covering, it's not that big yet. It's probably 4.5 by 5 feet. Well, that's for sitting in a huge pot, but be shorter than that out of that pot in the ground by far. Do you think covering the branches and maybe down even to the ground with like a row, that white row cover?
You could build
it. Would that work?
Yes. You could build a tent of row cover and put it on some kind of a structure, some kind of a frame, and put a light under it that would put off some heat,
mm-hmm.
and build basically, you know, a little mini greenhouse is what you're doing.
I'd even wrap it with like Christmas lights. They put off a little bit of heat.
They do. Some lights put off more than others, but if you just run a light in there, cover it with floating row cover,
mm-hmm.
and then on nights where it's going to get really cold, maybe put an additional layer of the row cover on there, even wrap the trunk. If you do all those heroic kind of things, it might work, but it's going to be a lot of trouble.
Oh, but it's so worth it. They're so good.
Like, They are delicious.
I came up with one more question, if you have a minute.
Sure.
Our son brought me this big, huge container. It's probably 4 foot square,
mm-hmm.
and about 4 feet tall. We put it where the rain gutter would empty into it.
Okay.
And after the two little rains we've had, the last two,
mm-hmm.
it's just about full. I was thinking about putting the dunk in there for mosquito larvae.
Okay.
But what do you think about putting goldfish in there? Would that work?
Yeah, you could grow goldfish in just a little container like that. They would like that situation just fine. You might still have to deal with the mosquitoes a little bit, but not as much, because those fish would help you with that. Mm-hmm. If you got the little gambusia fish, the mosquito-eating fish, they could be with the goldfish, and then you probably would be able to completely take care of it. If the mosquitoes do pop up, you can just toss a little BTI in there. That doesn't hurt the fish at all, and that'd knock them out quick.
And the fish would probably help keep down algae problems.
Yeah.
And fertilize the water. I want it for my plants.
No, I think it's a great idea. And even if it gets kind of green and algae, that doesn't mean it's unhealthy. That means it's pretty healthy, really, and it's even better for watering your plants. Give it a whirl and let me know how it works for you.
Can you pronounce that fish for me one more time?
It's called gambusia, or just mosquito-eating fish.
Okay, I'm going to have to get on the internet and look that one up and see where I can get it.
Look on our website in the library, and it'll tell you all about them.
Oh, my God, thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Talk to you later. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. I'll be back with you right after this.
XO Odor Neutralizer is the original all-natural odor eliminator air freshener. It's non-toxic, pH neutral, and no fragrances. If you want to get rid of big odors, but do it naturally and keep it safe for children and pets, then you've got to try XO Odor Neutralizer. XO has an exclusive offer just for Dirt Doctor listeners. An 8-ounce pump spray and a 16-ounce refill bottle for only $19.98 with free shipping. Go to exocorp.com/dirtdoctor or call 800-442-9696.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural, organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast to coast and border to border. You can learn about the books on DirtDoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
I have a great recommendation for container gardening. SmartPot is superior in several ways. It's a fabric container that releases heat and enhances root structure because it's fabric. You can have a garden in any location. It's easy to carry, lasts for years, provides excellent drainage, and prevents soil compaction and circling roots. For more information or to find a store in your area, go to smartpots.com or call 800-521-8098. That's smartpots.com.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on the effectiveness of natural organic gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's programs works better, saves money, and helps us to enjoy healthier lives. We need your support. Go to TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org to donate. Stop the broad-scale use of toxic chemical pesticides and fertilizers. Donate at TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org today. That's TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org. Again, TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations, that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's MedinaAg.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
All righty, back to the phones. It's Daryl, our snake expert friend. Hello, Daryl.
Greetings, Howard. How have you been, sir?
I have been well. How are you and your reptiles?
Well, doing very well, thank you. I haven't been on in quite a while. I haven't even been able to listen to speak of for about a month. The snake man is really busy on Halloween.
Yeah, I bet.
Now, Christmas, not so much. at any rate, and how are you doing? I mean, last time I talked to you, there was a health thing. Is that going well?
Oh yeah, it's great. Other than the fact that none of the doctors can figure out why I had it. For those who didn't hear any of that, I had blood clots. Living a pretty good lifestyle, and the doctors can't figure out at all why it happened. So it's one of those deals where at the moment I'm going to have to stay on a blood thinner for maybe the rest of my life unless they come up with some other explanation. It's kind of frustrating to say the least. I've got a couple of other friends that have had similar kind of things. I hope it's not something that is on the uptick.
Yeah, me too. I do know there's some alternative things. Maybe sometime off the air we could talk about that, but the thing I wanted to talk about in terms of alternatives was bees. I didn't even know about this, but you know, it's of course a very big deal that Monsanto's products are killing off our honeybees, and that's critical to human survival because they pollinate. But I didn't know about solitary bees, mason bees, leafcutter bees, the little ones like aphid bees. Fascinating stuff about how one mason bee is about 40% better pollinator than a single honeybee.
Yeah, the mason bees are great pollinators. The hover flies are great pollinators. The little black soldier fly that comes from the maggot and wet compost, you know, all those things, all those insects are great pollinators, and that's why we try to go the organic route and protect them all as much as we can. It's not just honeybees and bumblebees that are a problem. And bumblebees are very important, too, extremely important.
I understand that, too, yes. And you can even make houses for them. But I'm really fascinated by how easily made a mason bee house is.
Yeah, it's just something with some holes in it that it can go into. Another name for that insect is the plug bug, because they plug up these holes. They build their nest for their young and plug up the pipe or the hole, the opening, whatever it is, and that's where the name comes from. Some of those are cut bees, and they're the ones that cut the pretty little designs out of the leaves of roses and other plants, sometimes hollies. Anyway.
Well, I understand there's a reason they're so much better at pollinating. When a honeybee lands on a flower, it's just dainty with the little, you know, feet, and that's what it moves to the next flower with. The mason bee does a big belly flop, and then it does the same thing on the next flower. Mm-hmm. And so it's transferring a whole lot more pollen. So maybe we should all be thinking about having mason bee houses on our properties just to sort of help with the lack of pollination because of the lessening of the honeybee population.
Well, I think it's a good idea. You can get them from any of the insectaries like Arbico, Hydro Gardens, M&R Durango, people like that, you know, Rincon Vitova. And I think it's a good idea, but they're going to be there kind of like green lace wings and trichogramma wasps. They're going to be there if you just go organic and aren't killing them because they're, you know, they're native to the country. But when you buy these deals that encourage them, you just build the populations to be heavier than normal, and it's a very beneficial thing to do.
Okay.
Good idea, Daryl. Thank you, sir.
I knew you'd know about it. Thank you, sir.
See you soon.
Take care.
Let's go to Jonathan in Waxahachie, Texas. Hello, Jonathan.
Good morning, Howard.
How you doing?
Doing good. I was calling to get your opinion on straw bale gardening. I don't know if you've heard about it or looked into it.
You're talking about building the beds with straw and filling in between the bales, having the bales kind of act as the container?
Correct.
Yes. I don't have anything wrong. I don't have any problem with it except for two things. I've done it, and it works fine, but the two possible fatal flaws of that idea are these. Number one, which is not as big a deal other than you have to rebuild them at some time, and that is in an organic program, the hay bales are going to deteriorate and fall apart at some point, and, you know, that's fine. They become part of a compost pile for you, but they're not going to last a real long time as the walls would if they were made out of concrete or stone or some other material. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
The other real possible fatal flaw is that if you get hay bales that came from fields that were Bermuda grass and things like that, the chances of them having 2,4-D, picloram, clopyrrolid, and other herbicides in them is kind of high. So you have to worry about that issue. The way to be safe is to use alfalfa hay. It's wonderful. Can't have broadleaf herbicides, at least not yet. They haven't done the genetic modifying yet, but it's very expensive. Let me put you on hold if you had something else. I got to run out of here. Lee, hang on. I'll talk to you real quickly before I have to leave. I really enjoyed being with everybody today. Great questions. Mary Rose got you a lot of dog food for those people with the dogs out there. So
we did.
Appreciate you having that interest. Be sure to enjoy your gardens, and don't forget to feed the birds, and I'll see you in about a week.